Victor Carroll's life was a concerto in three movements. But the final movement ended in the sharp discord of death.
The Whistler, brought to you by HFC, Household Finance Corporation, with 437 branch offices throughout the United States and Canada. Another strange tale by The Whistler.
I am The Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak. Tonight, I walk with Victor Carroll to tell you what happened when he played a concerto for death. For Victor Carroll, life was a concerto for violin, a beginning filled with anticipation, a somber adagio, and a haunting, melancholy theme that reaches its final movement now, tonight, as the tall, angular-faced musician steps into a circle of light, clutches his violin with trembling fingers, and stares out into the black and white darkness of a formal audience. As the conductor smiles at him encouragingly, Victor Carroll doesn't know that the concerto of his life has reached its discordant conclusion.
All right, Ben. Fade the house lights when he raises his baton.
Yes, sir. Excuse me.
Yes, what is it?
Where's Victor Carroll's dressing room?
Right down the hall.
Thank you.
Yeah, but he's not there now. He's on the stage.
This way?
Wait, you can't go out there.
Can't I? Take a look.
Detectives.
That's right.
But the concert, they're beginning right now. Lieutenant, what's all this about? What are you going to do?
Well, I'll tell you. I like a good tune as well as the next man. So we'll wait until he's done his first number. And I'm going to arrest him. For murder.
Yes, Victor Carroll's life melody reached its climax in the plush, ornate concert hall. But the theme had its beginning many months ago, in a small, austere cottage that clung to the terraced hillside above a war-weary Italian village. It began with Sergeant Victor Carroll of the United States Army and an old Italian named La Virtù.
And so you have come, my boy, to tell me you are leaving Italy.
I'm afraid so, Maestro. Our orders came through this morning. We're sailing at dawn tomorrow.
See, I have expected it. But now that it comes, it is no less sad. I will miss you, Victor. These talks we have had about music, listening to you play.
Well, I'll miss you too, Maestro.
Victor,
yes?
Before you go, I am going to show you something. That, as a musician, you like to see. Something I have shown to only a very few people. Here. Ah. It is a plain black wooden box. But when I open it, there, look. There is a violin.
Oh. It's a Stradivarius.
Stradivarius? No, no, my boy.
Oh, an Amati, then?
No. Not Amati. Finer. Even finer than this.
But what could be finer than...
Del Gesù. This is a Del Gesù.
Del Gesù? Oh, but that's impossible. There's only one in Italy. The museum at Florence, I saw it.
See, but this is another Del Gesù. It has been the treasure of my family all these years. My great-great-grandfather, Del Gesù, made it for him when he was only a child.
May I, Maestro, would you allow me to...
Play it? Yes, my boy. I want you to play it.
Careful.
Careful. No. Wait. Not that kind of music for this violin. Let me show you. There, inside, you see? It is marked leggero, soft, light. Del Gesù made this violin for a child. It is meant for the lullaby, like Brahms' lullaby. Listen to me.
Beautiful. With a violin like that, I could...
You said something, my boy?
Oh, I said it was beautiful.
See. But now I think I put it away again.
Maestro.
Yes, my boy.
You have a family. No, well, you have no family, Maestro. No one close to you. You're very... Well, you don't have too many more years to live.
The violin will be buried with me, if that's what you are thinking.
But an instrument like that, beauty like that should...
Listen to me. I have thought of it many times. I will leave my Del Gesù for the whole world to enjoy, I have said to myself. But they would only put it in a museum and they would place on it a price. The value of music measured in lire. No. I think the Del Gesù will die with me.
No, I...
What is it, my boy? You look at me in such a...
Goodbye, Maestro.
But wait, you will not go so quickly.
Goodbye, Maestro.
Oh, I see. I think I should not have shown you the Del Gesù.
Perhaps not, Maestro.
Come on, pick that drink up. This is a celebration. Another 3 hours, we'll be on our way back to the good old USA.
Huh? Oh, I don't feel like celebrating.
Oh, so it's that way. A big love you're leaving behind. Is that it?
No, it's... Yeah, I suppose you could call it that.
Ella, she's that terrific. It's too bad you can't bring her along. Well,
maybe I will.
What? Oh, sure. Fine. Great. Hey, where you going?
Never mind. I'll see you on the boat.
Come on, next. Brown Roger Private, 359-42336.
Any perfume, silk, jewelry, furs?
No.
Next.
Harold Victor Sargent, 34720170.
Any perfume, silk, jewelry, furs?
Nope.
What's in that black box?
Just a violin.
A fiddle?
Yeah, fiddle.
You guys liberate more junk. Okay, next.
In just a moment, we continue with The Whistler, brought to you by HFC, Household Finance Corporation. Folks, a review of Benjamin Franklin's will reveals that Franklin left a sum of money to the city of Philadelphia for loans to workmen. To get a loan from the Franklin Fund, the borrower had to be a young married artificer, a skilled workman, under 35 years of age, pay a specified interest, borrow less than a certain amount, put up as security a first mortgage upon real estate in Philadelphia, and produce two reputable citizens to testify to his moral character. It's a great credit to Franklin that he clearly recognized so many years ago that workmen should have access to a source of cash credit. But Benjamin Franklin could not anticipate that in the highly industrialized society of today, workers would have to be able to borrow on far less strict terms than those laid down in his will. To make loans on terms within the reach of most working men and women is the sole job of our sponsor, HFC, Household Finance Corporation. At HFC, men and women can borrow money to meet an emergency or for other worthy purposes, largely on their character and earning ability. Last year, HFC, Household Finance Corporation, through 437 branches in 287 cities in the United States and Canada, made helpful loans to over 1.25 million families and individuals. Household Finance Corporation provided a place where these people borrowed quickly and received friendly, courteous service. Now again, The Whistler.
The Italian theme of Victor Carroll's Life Concerto ended as he walked up the gangplank and stared out across the silent water that reached white-capped fingers toward the United States. But the second movement was not long in beginning. The first notes were struck when he came home to find everything different. His wife, Peggy, his friends. Nothing was real, but the secret he kept in his black box.
Oh, that was wonderful, Vic. Peggy, he plays even better than he did before the war. You see, darling, that's what I said.
Oh, well,
And you know, Liza, he wouldn't even let me ask you and Clinton over before. Said he wasn't ready. Oh. He needed weeks and weeks more of practice.
Well, for my money, he plays the best darn fiddle I've ever heard.
Clinton, really?
It's all right if he calls this thing a fiddle, Liza. It doesn't amount to much.
Why, Vic...
Oh, Peg, I'm sorry. I'd forgotten it was a present from you.
That's all right. Well, how about playing another number, Vic?
Well, sure. What would you like?
Something sweet and simple. How about Brahms' Lullaby?
Well, Vic, Clinton asked you to play Brahms' Lullaby. Vic.
Well, what did we do to bring all that on?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so terribly sorry. I did hope nothing would happen tonight.
It's Peggy, what is the matter?
Oh, I don't know. He hasn't wanted to see anyone or be around anyone since he got back. I guess it was the war. Something that happened overseas. I've got to give him a chance to... Well, to come back to me.
What's that?
Vic. He's upstairs.
That's lovely. So different from... Oh, Peggy, I'd forgive him anything if he can play like that.
Yes. I told you I'd fixed him a studio in the attic. He plays up there for hours, alone like that. Oh, Liza, I'm afraid I don't understand him at all. You poor kid. I've just got to tell somebody about it. The first day he was home, I took him upstairs to show how I'd remodeled the attic into a studio for him. I knew he'd be pleased, and I stood in the doorway, smiling, waiting for him to say something to me. But he never did. He went into the room, looked around, and then closed the door. Closed and locked it right in my face.
Peggy!
And you know, it's funny, but he's never let me inside that room since.
Odd. What's he hiding up there? The stolen crown jewels or something?
More toast, Vic?
No, thanks. Peggy, I'm sorry about last night. I didn't mean to offend Clinton and Lisa. Just that...
It doesn't
well...
matter, Vic. Let's not talk about it.
All right.
Vic, you practiced very late last night.
Yeah, I worked late.
I waited for you till nearly 3 a.m.
I haven't told you, but I've been practicing for something special. Not that I have much hope. Every violinist in town's been after it.
After what, Vic?
Well, Kurwitz announced that he's going to play the Brook Concerto in G minor, the opening concert of the season. He's going to use a new young violinist.
Oh, and he's heard you play?
No, not yet, but he will. They've had auditions for a month, and the board finally narrowed it down to 6. Kurwitz will make the final choice tomorrow.
Oh, Vic, then that's why you've been shutting yourself out, practicing so hard. Oh, he'll pick you. I know he will. He's got to, Vic.
I don't know, Peggy. I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm good enough, and the rest of the time I'm not so sure.
Oh, there's no one who can play better than you, darling. Listening to you last night, well, it was so beautiful that I almost couldn't believe it. You know, Vic, the music sounds different when you're upstairs. As if there were something or someone. Vic?
Yes?
Was there someone else? A girl in Italy, someone you remember, you play to at night there in the attic? Oh, I know it may be foolish, but I'd rather know than sit down here alone night after night and listen and wonder. You can tell me, Vic.
You're talking nonsense.
Please, Vic, won't you tell me? What happened in Italy? And the black box.
And what about the black box?
What's in it, Vic? Please tell me. Is it keepsake, memories of her? Vic, where are you going?
Upstairs.
Vic, I'm going with you.
You're not to go near my studio.
Vic, we've got to clear this up, whatever it is that's come between us. When you lock me out of that room, you're locking me out of your life. I want to come into your studio. I want to listen to you play. Whatever it is, I want to share it with you, Vic.
There's nothing to share, Peggy. Nothing at all. Just keep away from my studio, that's all. Because if you ever go into that room, I'll kill you. Do you hear me, Peggy? I'll kill you.
All right, gentlemen. Dr. Krewitz will hear you now. Mr. Bartholomew first, then Mr. Holmes, then Mr. Justin, then Mr. Rossi, and then Mr. Weisberg, and last, Mr. Carroll. Go right in, Mr. Bartholomew.
Thank you.
The rest of you might as well get comfortable. Heaven only knows how long this will take. Carroll?
Yes?
I think he's finished with Weisberg now. Sorry you've had to wait so long.
Oh, that's all right. I don't mind.
Mr. Krewitz has a bad habit of forgetting all about time. I hope sitting here hasn't made you nervous.
No, it's all right. I've been waiting years for an opportunity like this anyway.
Of course. Well, if you want to take your violin and... Oh, no. Don't tell me he's going to have Weisberg play something else.
Well, I'm afraid he is.
Well, at least it won't take very long. It's only Brahms' lullaby.
Brahms' lullaby.
Mr. Carroll, what is it?
I'm sorry. I can't stay. I can't wait. I can't.
Mr. Carroll! Vic? Oh, Vic, why didn't you call me? I've been sitting here for hours waiting to know what happened.
I didn't play.
You didn't play?
I'm not ready. I need more practice. I make a fool of myself playing for a man like that.
Oh, no, Dad.
Yes. Oh, you were right, Peggy. I do need a vacation. You know, I think we'll sell this house. Go away from here. Forget about music. At least for a while. I can't go on like this. Playing the violin night and day, awake or asleep.
Oh, there's the door.
Oh, I'll see who it is.
Good evening.
Oh, Dr. Krewitz.
Well. Do I just stand here, or do you ask me in?
Of course. Come in, sir.
So, you are the young man who is so impatient, who cannot wait, not even for Krewitz. Well, I don't blame you. And who is this?
My wife, Dr. Krewitz.
How do you do?
So, you are married. I approve of marriage. I have been married also. 3 times. Well, why did you run out on me, Carol? Come, an explanation.
I know.
You heard the others playing and you were nervous. Well, a good musician should be nervous. Perhaps even you felt inferior to some of them. A good musician should be humbled. And perhaps you were angry with me for making you wait so long. A good musician should have fire. So you may be a good musician. We shall find out. Get the fiddle. Get the fiddle.
Here now?
Of course. Why do you think I come? I am a thoughtless old man. I do think stupidly. 6 musicians all at once, one after another. Such noise. Who could play? Who could sound well? But here, perhaps one of them will play and will sound well. Right, Mrs. Garrett?
I'm sure he will. But honestly, I'm not a very good judge.
A good musician should have a wife who is not a judge. Well, I give the accompaniment. This will not be very satisfactory, but then a good conductor does not have to be a virtuoso, no? The music. Now, please. Concert is tonight, not a week from tonight, not a month from tonight, but tonight. And they are expecting an orchestra, not a brass band. We'll try it again. The couple. From the beginning, Mr. Carroll. Now! That was very sweet, very interesting, but modern audiences expect pyrotechnics. We must try to give them what they expect. Now, we take it again. Good instrument, yeah, but inexpensive. You must try to borrow something better for tonight, yeah. Not a Stradivarius, but perhaps a Ruggieri.
Well, I...
For this concert, you must have the very best violin you can get.
Yes, the best violin I can get.
Peggy! Peg, are you home? The studio. She's...
Oh.
Peg!
Oh, Vic, I...
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry, Vic. I guess my curiosity ran away with me. I'm still jealous of whatever's in this box. After all, I am a woman.
Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it's locked.
Well, you know me. I can work wonders with a hairpin.
You didn't open it.
Well, I think one more.
No, twist. No. Get away from there.
Ouch. Vic, my arm.
Oh, you little fool. If you've broken it, I'll...
I'm sorry, Vic.
Sorry. I've told you over and over. If it's ruined, if you've broken it, I'll kill you.
What?
I killed for it once already.
No, Vic, no.
Yes, killed.
I don't believe you.
Oh, I've told you to leave it alone, but you wouldn't. I told you to stop praying, but you wouldn't. I'll stop you. You've broken the Del Jesus.
Oh, Vic, you're...
You've broken the Del Jesus.
Vic, my throat. Oh, Vic.
Oh, maybe it can be fixed. Maybe it isn't broken badly. Oh, it isn't broken. It's all right. It's all right. My beautiful, beautiful violin. Not even scratched.
So the second movement of Victor Carroll's Life Concerto is ended, and the finale is about to begin. The triumphant finale, the magnificent climax. But as he stands spotlighted on the stage, as Krubitz raises his baton, there are eyes watching from the entrances, from the front rows, and in the wings, a dark, stout man whispers to the manager.
Only the first movement. We'll wait only through the first movement.
All right. But please, they're beginning.
Our
All right, Victor. Good luck, my boy.
I'm sorry, Dr. Krubitz.
Victor! Wait!
Are you Victor Carroll?
Yes.
Homicide. Come with me.
In just a moment, the Whistler returns to tell you about next week's story. But first, a message from our sponsor, HFC, Household Finance Corporation. This is Burn Bennett to talk to you here in New York City about money when you need it. Now, if you are short of cash, need a fresh start, borrow at HFC, Household Finance Corporation. At Household Finance, you may borrow the money you need to pay doctor bills, repair bills, taxes, rent, and emergency expenses of almost any kind. At HFC, you may borrow $100, $200 or more without endorsers or guarantors. And you may take 6, 12, 18, or even 20 months to repay your loan. Quick private service. There are 37 household finance offices in greater New York City and suburbs. See your telephone directory under HFC, Household Finance Corporation, for the office nearest you. Branch offices also in most principal cities of upstate New York, New Jersey, and in the New England states. Remember the letters HFC. They mean Household Finance Corporation. Money when you need it. Now, back to the Whistler. It was exactly the kind of job Johnny Turner wanted. Good pay, easy hours, and lots of time to spend with Diana. Only, he hadn't counted on Diana's husband. And he didn't know until too late that the job held absolutely no future. Listen again next Wednesday evening at this same time when I walk with Johnny Turner to tell you the strange story called Chain Reaction. The Whistler, with tonight's story by Frank P. DeFelita, is produced and directed by William N. Robeson, music by Lud Gluskin. Featured tonight were Morgan Farley as Victor and Nina Clowden as Peggy. The Whistler, transmitted overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service, is heard in Canada over the facilities of the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is Murray Wagner speaking for HFC and reminding you never borrow unless you must. But if you have to borrow, do it the right way. Borrow at HFC, Household Finance Corporation. This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And this is WCBS, New York.